The Man in the Iron Mask.
Louis of France is successful in his devilish plan to deceive Marguerite as to the identity of her husband. He has already arrived at the island pretending he is Edmund, and the startling likeness between the twins completely fools Edmund's guardian, Monsieur Saint-Marc, and Marguerite herself. Meanwhile, Louis's wife, the Queen of France, has accidentally discovered the truth because of a chance remark made by her lady-in-waiting, Louisa.
Your Majesty, what are you saying?
Why, of course, it is so clear to me now. Oh, Louise, I knew there was mischief afoot. That's why I sent you to the coast this morning. Louis was so secretive. In the early morning, I heard him in the telly speaking in hushed voices in the next room, preparing to go off on a journey. Oh, Louisa, this is ghastly. I can see it all now. Louis has called his brother Edmund here to the palace, leaving Edmund's wife defenseless on the island. And now Louis is on his way there if he hasn't already arrived.
Oh, Your Majesty, how horrible. Can't some warning be sent?
Oh, I feel it is too late. But I must find Edmund. I must tell him. Oh, he is so much in love with Marguerite that if anything happened to her... Oh, dear heaven, he'll go mad. He'll go raving mad when I tell him the news. But I must. I must, Louisa. Quickly, come with me.
Edmund! Edmund! The room is empty, Your Majesty. Perhaps the inner room.
Just a moment. When I left Edmund, he said he would take a walk in the gardens in the dusk. Oh, quickly, let us go through the gardens and find him as soon as possible.
Meanwhile, Louis walked impatiently up and down in the small sitting room of the private apartments in the fortress St. Marguerite. Under his breath, he cursed Edmund's guardian, who had so rudely interrupted his little romance. And when, half an hour later, Marguerite suddenly appeared with Saint-Marc, laughing and excited, he could not somehow respond to this gaiety. For three is a crowd, a veritable crowd, in such circumstances.
Darling, it's all ready. The table is spread and you must come now. Our wedding feast, darling.
She has talked of nothing else since you've been away.
I'm not sure that I'm hungry.
Not hungry? In that case, you need a glass of wine, Edmund, to whet your appetite. Now, in my private rooms, I have special wine. We'll drink to your health and to your newfound freedom.
Is there this way, Monsieur Saint-Marc? The short way.
Yes, of course. Quickly, hand me that chair, Edmund.
What's this?
Oh, Edmund. Surely you haven't forgotten the jailer's room just above this door?
The room in which I was instructed to sit, watching you through spy holes, making sure you would not make any attempt to escape from the island. Now for the secret catch. A perfect spy plate, is it not? The workmanship and the carving is so beautifully executed, nobody could possibly guess. Unless they were told.
You mean your rooms are up there, above this door?
Edmund, where is your memory?
Oh, yes, of course. How inconvenient.
Inconvenient?
Well, it would have been inconvenient had I remained here a prisoner. You and I need privacy, my dear Marguerite.
Here it is, the special bottle, the finest Rhenish wine. The wine which used to be your favorite in our old home. Remember, Edmund?
I don't want any wine, thank you.
Why, Edmund?
No. Aren't you going to close that panel up?
Yes, of course, Edmund. You seem a little out of color.
Oh, it's been such a long journey over to the mainland, and that... Oh, please have one glass of wine, Edmund, before we go to our wedding supper. One glass. It is, after all, an occasion.
An occasion? Yes, I suppose it is an occasion. Very well, Saint-Marc. Open the bottle.
Oh, Edmund, come here quickly. Great flock of gulls in the dusk. Oh, they look like ghost birds with a gloom and something.
Don't ask me to go near those windows. I told you I can't stand heights.
You are undoubtedly suffering from overtiredness, Edmund. I can tell from the tone of your voice. Now, here is a glass of this glorious wine. And one for you, Marguerite, and one for me. Now, a toast. I give you the toast, long life and complete happiness in your newfound freedom, Edmund.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Monsieur Saint-Marc. I've dreamed of this day when you, Edmund's guardian, might wish us both happiness.
May God be with you always.
Just one moment, Ma.
Yes, Edmund.
Much as I hate to break up this happy little party, there is something I've suddenly remembered.
And what is that, Edmund?
Mistress and Ma has to go back to the mainland.
Oh.
At once.
At once?
Yes, I forgot to tell you. All the excitement of arriving here, it was very stupid of me to overlook such an important command.
A command?
The command comes from the king.
Mon Dieu. And such an important order, you forget to mention. I am very surprised, Edmund.
Never mind about your surprise. You'd better make preparations and go at once.
Exactly what is the order, Edmund? Do I go to the palace?
The palace? No. No, indeed. The king orders that you take this ship, which is now at the pier. Go to the mainland and wait there for him. Until you receive further orders from me. I mean, from the king. And you'd better hurry. I've been so late in giving you this order. One can never tell. You might find the king waiting for you there.
Oh, Edmund, why did you not think to tell me of this before? We have made such lavish preparations, haven't we, Marguerite?
Our wedding feast. And I did want your guardian to be with us. Never mind, Mrs. Lamar. There will be another occasion. The feast will not be wasted, because now that Edmund has had his run, I'm sure he's found his appetite. But it must wait a little, of course, until his guardian makes his departure.
Meanwhile, on the mainland, and in the beautiful palace grounds, Maria Theresa and her maid-in-waiting, Louisa, searched in vain for Edmund Marchiali. Dusk had now deepened into night, which made their searching so difficult. And just as they were about to give up and return to the palace, Louisa suddenly placed her hand upon Maria Theresa's arm.
A moment, Your Majesty. There in the far distance, that figure silhouetted in the moonlight.
Oh, a statue.
But is it a statue?
Oh, it is so still. No, that could not be Edmund.
A moment. If we can walk down these steps, I think I remember that there was a circular path. Fortunately, the moon will show us.
Listen to the nightingale. Oh, what a beautiful night, Louisa. A full moon, the brightest of stars. And yet we have the most miserable news for Edmund Marchiali. This is the path. And now, as we draw nearer, look, the silhouette moves.
Then it must be Edmund. And we parked near here not so long ago.
He must be thinking deeply of his loved one.
Louisa, you stay here. I think it would be better if I told him of this alone. I shall have to break the news gently.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Is that you, Edmund?
What? Why? Maria Theresa.
I have interrupted you in your reverie.
Reverie? Call it reverence, Maria. I've been worshipping a star.
A star?
You may call me foolish. Call us both foolish. But my darling Marguerite and I made a pact when first we met. We promised each other that if ever we should be parted, we would go out into the darkness, look up into the heavens and find a special star. A star which we call our very own. At this time, each night, when possible, we would each look up to this star, each thinking of the other. And truly, Maria, sometimes when I look at that special star, just below the moon, see? Not bright, but large and milky. When I look at that star, and Marguerite is far away, I feel that she too sees what I see. And thus, as I think, our thoughts intermingle. In that way, we can never be parted.
Edson.
Maria, what is it? You're distressed.
So distressed that I can hardly find the words to...
Maria, you must tell me. What is it?
Edmund, you must be brave. You must keep your head. I have some fearful news for you.
Fearful news? What has happened?
After I left you late this afternoon, I spoke with my maid-in-waiting, Louisa. She accidentally learned that that the king, your brother, has set sail for the island of Saint Marguerite.
The island of Saint Marguerite?
And there would only be one reason. Do you understand me clearly, Edmund? Only one reason why he would go to the island.
Oh, mon Dieu.
You have successfully masqueraded as your brother here at the palace. Perhaps he can masquerade as you at the island.
This is the truth.
Louisa is near at hand, she would tell you. She had it from Matilde.
So this is why my brother was so forgiving. This is why he was so magnanimous, so overbearingly sweet and kind. So full of brotherly love and benevolence. The black-hearted swine.
Oh, hush, Edmund.
The filthy, evil coward he is. I'll tear his throat out for this. I'll tear the very heart out of him. Quickly, a horse. I must ride a horse to the coast. I'll kill him, Maria. I'll tear him apart.
Maria Theresa, terrified at this burst of passion, stepped back in terror, for now she could hardly recognize this new Edmund. What will be the result of this frightful news? Make sure you don't miss the next exciting chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.